All right, welcome to Primetime. It's 4 p.m. We're going to go ahead and get started. A couple of updates from me. Primetime stuff only, I guess. Office hours, probablyprime.co.uk now has Goonsy office hours on that. It's probably not the long-term solution for office hours. We have sort of talked about maybe putting them on YouTube, like the official Resonant YouTube channel. But I was asking the rest of the team, hey, like, what's the format for that? Because I quite like how the subtitles and audio are separate, so they can be followed along. I don't know. Basically, though, we'll figure something out. It's going to be like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then secondarily, next week, which will be the 31st, Halloween, there will be no office hours from me. I will be at BLFC. If you are going to BLFC, there is a Resonite meet and greet, and I will get the details for you about that in just a second. If you're going to BLFC, I will be there at that event. There's like too many channels, too many Discords. Where are we? Yes, here it is. Copy, doobly-doo, over to doobly-doo. Right, there we go. So yeah, if you're at BLFC, then it is Wednesday, November 1st, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. PDT. As you're at an event, like, it's just the time zone at the event. If you're not at the event, doesn't apply to you. And we're in the third stage Crystal Ballroom 120. Of course, I have no idea where that is, but I'll figure it out. I will be there. You're wondering how to find me, you will know. That's a big hint for those who know they know. Anyway, that is also applicable to like the rest of the team as well. So if we're like, I know there was a post in Devlog, but like if there's less updates, etc., it's because we're at BLFC, etc. All right, now we get onto questions after I've been rambling for like 2 minutes. All right, I just double-checked a few things. Let's get on with it. So Pinky, hello. We were talking yesterday about open sourcing. Yeah, that's cool. Will the mod that gives you the graphic settings be merged into the game? So there's a difficulty with like merging in mods. So first of all, it isn't because we don't want the feature in the mod. I saw some rumors the other day that the reason why full body is bad is because we don't like people doing certain activities in private sessions. That's just a silly rumor. Like, that's not true. So nothing that we do is usually for any sort of malicious intent. It's usually for a technical reason, right? Yeah, if we had a magic wand, we'd give you guys all the features you want tomorrow. It's never because we're not going to do it. Sometimes we can't do a feature because of technical reasons or the way it's explained or the way it's asked for. But most of the time, it's basically just like, hey, we'll get to it, we get to it. When it comes to mods, we can't sometimes just directly copy and paste the mod code into our engine. That's because it either isn't a suitable implementation for the mass market, or it's a technical issue or something like that. So graphical settings will not be coming in via that mod. They'll be coming in via our own pipeline once we get there. That also sort of answers Pinky's second question. In some cases easy, in some cases bad for, again, additionally those reasons. I've seen a couple of mods where they like sort of monkey patch stuff around, which is how mods work, and I understand why they're doing it. But sometimes I'm like, oh, well, there was a simpler way to fix that. So, yeah. Cool. Moving onwards to Alex's questions, rigid bodies when, and they also ask about the roadmap. So we have like a humongous list of stuff that we want to do in terms of features. Like, it's huge. It's unending. It's like more work than we can possibly even imagine, right? It'll keep us going forever. We never run out of ideas. The problem for a roadmap is that we have to decide when they're going to be done, who's available to do them, and what the priority for each of those are. That's why that doesn't exist a roadmap. It's not because we're slacking. It's not because we're not doing it. It's because we're figuring it out. If you imagine, and this isn't occurring physically, but it's a good analogy. If you imagine like the entire Resonite team in like a conference room, and every one of them is just throwing sticky notes at a wall, right? There's just going to be like hundreds of sticky notes on there. And then we have to go through all the sticky notes and figure out like, is this one plausible? Like, could we do it? You know, and then we discuss it, and then we figure out, okay, when do we want to do it? Do we want to do it Q1 2024, Q2 2024? Like, that's the process that we're doing, and until that is done, we have no questions about when. Additionally, when it is done, there will be no answers about when. It's just when we start working on stuff. Once we have a release date in mind for a feature, we will announce it. Until then, the release date is soon. You can ask repeatedly, the answer's just not going to change. If it does change, it'll be changing when the roadmap is announced, and then I'll be able to point towards that for all of your questions. So that's the answer to all when questions, is just wait for the roadmap. And if that's frustrating you, I understand. And I know that the excuse we've only been launched for 2 weeks is getting old now because we're towards the end of October, but still, we're still in the first month of launch, still, for another few days. And we're doing so much stuff. If you look in the updates channel, devlog, etc., there are so many moving parts going on. We're working, just not necessarily on what you're individually looking at. Moving forwards, Lurking Moose asks, will we get voice-related components for this new platform, such as modulation? So the problem with like things like modulation, actual pitch changing, I know some people just change the speed of the audio for pitch changing. That isn't doing pitch, that's doing speed. It's slightly different. Is that we need what's called digital signal processing. There's various other ways to do it, etc., particularly if you're in the sort of ye olde hardware area of audio thinging, like guitar pedals and stuff like that. That's usually not digital. But we would do it through digital signal processing. We don't have the capabilities to do that. If you go and rummage through the components, you'll see that there are some Protoflux nodes dealing with DSP. You'll see that's digital signal processing. That isn't a feature on our roadmap. That's just a cloud floating through the sky that we might have later, at which point you might be able to do stuff like that. I say might, and I say cloud going through the sky because I'm not making any promises, and because we haven't planned that feature, we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know what it's going to contain. But once that happens, you'll be able to do that sort of stuff. Lucky Moose also adds, any plan to redo Protoflux UI? Yeah. So the current node visuals, including the ribbon visuals, are all work in progress. They're going to be better. They're going to be smoother. They're going to look cool. We just need to have time to sit down and design them. Part of the issue there is that nodes have different uses, different layouts, different features, depending on what they do. So we need to come up with sort of a common design language where when a new node is added, there's no question of what it should look like. Easton is asking about motion blur and disabling it and why we can't put it in the settings menu because we don't want to put settings. Okay, so let's explain this. Let's explain this using sort of like an analogy of eating donuts. So the settings panel right now is that Homer Simpson episode where he's in hell and he's being force-fed donuts and he just keeps eating them. But he's a human, right? So he can only eat so many donuts until he explodes or pukes or whatever. The settings panel is at capacity. It is bursting at the seams. We can put one more in, sure. But you know what that leads to? It leads to another statement of, well, because Easton complained about motion blur, we decided to put in the motion blur setting. And then someone else goes, well, that means you're adding settings then. So I also want the setting for graphics settings. And I also want the setting to do this. And I also want the setting that's like, my hands are reversed because they were surgically reattached the wrong way around. And we need that as a setting in the settings panel. You know, and it just keeps snowballing. And then the excuses build because it's like, well, you did all these other settings, so like, why not my setting? Why not my setting? It's just like another one, another donut, another donut, another donut, another donut, another donut. It's not scalable, and that's why we basically have to do like, you know, you know when like a ref does the sort of like hand movement at like American football due to a touchdown? It's like, no, no more. That's what we have to do. There are exceptions to that, but when there are exceptions to that, it's because we've discussed them as a team and we figured them out. We continually discuss motion blur. It is a donut that we cannot fit in the Homer Simpson-sized settings panel. I'm not reading the comments which are further down on the list. I'll get to them when we get to them. I'm sure this has caused some memes. Anyway, moving forwards. Snakeham says, what's the most unlikely feature to get implemented? Anything to do with crypto. Next question. I'm sure some people will celebrate that. Lurking Moose says, why were ref cards discarded in favor of more direct manipulation of values? For anyone who's seen the Star Wars theme played to the VRIK component, that's why. It's basically like when you when we had those ref cards, you only needed like one or two values or one or two things there. You didn't need all of them. And most of the time, you don't need all of them. So if you don't need all of them, why are we rendering all of them? Exo the Wicker says, what's the most random feature Freaks or another member of the team added to Resonate, other than Minecraft importing? It's still, in my book, the unwrappable box driver. It makes like a, like if you remember like how to make a cube from a flat piece of paper, you know, there's a sort of T-shaped net. It's more like a cross or a crucifix shape. Anyway, as a net, that's what it's called, a flat object that you unfold to make a 3D object. The flat version of it is called a net. That it creates that and lets you sort of animate between it. It's an ancient component. It was made before many of the other components existed. It's fantastic. It's like, why was this added? There's a bunch of other stuff where I'm just like, I can see why this was added. It was like back when there was a different mindset about how to make stuff. But Jeb Forge says, is the plans to make the Resonite source code available? Well, we're on a recording, so I get to say this. There's going to be a GitHub issue about this eventually, and I'm going to just type like massive amounts of pages so that this conversation stops happening. We would like to, in the future, make parts of or the entire engine open source. You can see that in the way that we're open sourcing some of the dependencies we have. In some cases, it's because we don't really have a reason not to, or because we want the contributions to those dependencies that we've changed to be merged back into the mainline version of that dependency so that we don't have to maintain our own fork. Beyond that, it's not a reason of sort of, do we want to or don't we want to? We want to. We just need to do it correctly. There are lots of blockers to do that, and we can't do it right now, and focusing on it doesn't actually improve stuff. Like, we would have to focus for many months on open sourcing it, then we'd have to focus for, like, additional months on making sure that when we do open source it, we have framework in place that allows it not to just turn into an immediate crap fest of mess, and then we'd have to do it. All of those things are like so low on the priority list for like very many reasons, including like scheduling, priority, features, planning, also legal reasons, etc., that we just can't do it right now. It's going to be available at some point between now and the heat death of the universe. Further updates will follow on that one. It's not just going to be like you wake up one day and Resonite's open source. So as we move towards that journey, there will be updates or information that comes out about that. You don't need to continually ask about it, because unfortunately, while I'm happy to discuss it, that decision isn't going to change through discussion. It's going to change through waiting. And I know that that's frustrating, and I apologize that that's frustrating, but that's just the way it is. Like, if you ask me every day between now and the heat death of the universe to open source Resonite, I won't be able to do it. Lucky Moose says, any plans for native physics components? So it's very important when we talk about physics that we break it down into what type of physics you want. So in the sort of computing world, the gaming world, the engine world, there's usually three. There's probably more, but there's three which I'll talk about, which are rigid body physics, soft body physics, and cloth physics. You can sometimes overlap soft body and cloth physics, but for the purposes of usually avatar creation, slightly different. So on our roadmap, as an idea, with no timeline available, if you ask for when, you're not going to get one until the roadmap's out. Apologies for that again. Is rigid body physics. Now, rigid body physics will allow things like gravity. You'll be able to take a cube and then go drop to the ground, and the cube will drop to the ground, and maybe it'll bounce or it'll roll down some stairs. You can currently do this through an abuse of the character controller component, but do read the note that says that on the character controller component. Once rigid bodies exists, there'll be a lot more sort of crazy stuff that people can do. Once again, we know that that's frustrating to do. It is not a simple thing to do, because what we have to do is basically network physics. Like, if you go to like a sports match, any sport, and you imagine that we're living in a simulation, the amount of mathematics going on for all those, like, I don't know, soccer players running around on the pitch, how the ball works, how it bounces, how it like gets into that net, etc. So complicated, but the world just does it. Resonite, we have to write code to figure out how that would work. And that's a lot of code, so that's why it's taking a while. Shadow Panther's question about nullable chirality. That should work, what someone says, system.nullable. If that's difficult, open up a GitHub issue. We'll look in ways of making that simpler. Moving forward to Ice Riddle. Any plans to add an emergency home and local respawn button combinations for desktop users? We don't have any plans to do that, but if you'd like that, you can open up a GitHub issue. Antros talks about the roadmap, but so for the first part of that question, yeah, there will be a roadmap. As for how it will be formatted, it will be formatted in some regards on our GitHub, etc. It's probably going to be a project board over there. I also want us to take sort of snapshots of that and put it into marketing material, so that'll be like, you know, like a glossy picture that Chroma will you know, paint with their magical colors. It's almost a meme now, because I referred to Chroma as the keeper of colors once. Like, it sort of does downplay the job that they do. They do an amazing job. But like, it helps you visualize it, right? If it's anything to do with like making beautiful presentational media for anything that we're doing, like Chroma's got it sorted. Vizmok asks, will there be an official way to disable tank controls? Go ahead and take a look at the GitHub there. I think there's already an issue open for that one. And then any updates on the development of the wiki. So, like, here's the development of the wiki. Prime needs between 10 and 20 hours where he's not distracted by anything else to just sit down and focus on it. And until that happens, you're not going to get a wiki. So that's what's going on there. So even asking about the wiki removes from the time it takes to do the wiki. I was trying to think of a way of explaining, like, our day about this, because, like, you will see in like, the next build that we have, like, Prime fixed a random Protoflux node that was doing something weird, and you're like, well, why didn't you spend that time working on the wiki? So if you imagine, like, my day, and block the day into sort of, not hours, but just block it into sort of wedges of capability of doing technical work. There's big tasks that I do each day where they're the main focus of the day. I wake up and it's like, I need to do that task for the day. And that task is a really big wedge. But then in between those really big wedges, there's tiny wedges where it's like, I need a break, but I still want to do some work. So can I fix the random Protoflux node that was just returning the wrong color value? Absolutely. That'll take me 5 minutes. And it's a good sort of like, it's a thing that I can cross off the to-do list, but it doesn't mean that I'm not focusing on those big wedges. It just means I'm taking a little break and focusing on a tinier wedge. Colzo says there were settings I did. Yes, there are exceptions to our settings based on what the setting is and the requirement for the setting. Graphic settings requires twofold things, one of which is the settings overwork rework, and the second one being integrating that with the Unity runtime and the Protoflux and the Resonate runtime, etc. So it is more difficult. It's like a double layer. Like there's two plates in the cupboard there that would have to do full graphic settings and motion. Chatclot says, is there going to be anything creating things in-game easier, more intuitive for players, such as avatars, worlds, and other things? If I remember right, Resonate has its own coding language for creating things. Yeah, it's really difficult to answer that question without any more specifics. I'll try and just like give you some examples. So like one example is the avatar creator. We might overhaul that to be clearer. Like right now, that's still quite old. That would make avatar creator, the dialogue, easier to use. We're going to overhaul the Protoflux visuals. That's what I talked about earlier in the thing. That would make Protoflux more intuitive. We're going to overhaul what the inspector does and how that works. That'll make inspecting more intuitive. So it's not like one thing. It's like a group of things that we can do everywhere. So like if you look at a thing and you think that's difficult, that's challenging, I don't understand how that works, that isn't our intention. It just needs additional work. Yuyube says, what's Feven? Found this in Protoflux nodes constants. That's a meme node. I do want to reclassify those into like a meme folder at some point, so it's clear that you shouldn't use them for anything. It just has 7 in it, but it's broken, so it doesn't actually output 7. Antrobot says, can we at least get a config file so we don't have to rely on a full settings menu? We do already have a config file, but we came across the problem with the config file, which is when we added the config file, next people were like, well, now you have a config file. Could you add this setting to it? Could you add this setting to it? And that started meaning like, okay, now the config file is a very, very chunky Homer Simpson eating donuts. And again, it's bursting at the seams. What we want to do is unify both of those things. So the config system and the settings panel work in tandem and everything is nice and smooth. We just cannot fit another donut in. And that does change sometimes. Like I know about a feature that I am literally working on that adds another setting. And so I know it sounds like I'm a big hypocrite, but the feature that I'm working on is for accessibility and it's for an accessibility area that I'm very, very familiar with, which is epilepsy and seizures, right? So like I'm very familiar with that. And so because it's accessibility and safety, we're doing that. And then you'll start saying, but motion blur gives me a headache. Isn't that like accessibility? And it's like, sure, like it's very difficult to like keep saying no to that question with a straight face and smiling about it. Like we cannot add that until we have the settings rework, no matter how many times you're asked. Pinky says, why not take inspiration from Photonic Freedom in terms of the settings UI? So we're still talking about the settings UI. See the problem here? You see the problem here? We continue to talk about like every question is just how can I ask in a different way how to add a toggle for the motion blur. I get it, it's fine, we'll keep talking about it. It isn't a problem that we don't know how to make UI. It's the timing and the prioritization and the workflow to make the UI. There's the UI. We also want to overhaul how the settings work from a coding level. It's really difficult and fragile right now. And then we have to hook those settings up to actual things, right? We can make UI for days. So it's not the UI that we have difficulty for. And it's not the fact that it's full that we have difficulty for. It's just that we need to remake the whole thing. And then Rusio asks, well, what about a command line parameter? Again, Homer Simpson is full of donuts. We have too many command parameters. I don't want any more. Easton asks about prioritization of the settings menu. See how we're still talking about the session settings menu? That will be available once we have our roadmap available. Now, our roadmap does have on it the settings menu, absolutely. It's just figuring out when that settings menu will occur is the conversation that we need to have as a team and figure out before we announce, hey, we're going to work on settings in Franz February the 2nd is when we're going to work on the settings menu, right? That's what we need to answer before we give it to you. Antrobots is asking about the format of the wiki. It's going to be very similar to our old wiki, yes, but I want to do some formatting updates and kind of sort of curtail some of the problems that we had to it. Virgil asks, are there any other ways to get storage other than through Patreon? There are a couple of ways that work these days. So you can ask another user to share storage with you. I had a friend who was very low on money or something along those lines, and so I gave them like a few gigabytes from my storage, so you can share storage for high users, etc. Periodically, there'll be opportunities to gain storage through various sort of contests, events, things like that, etc. But otherwise, it's just Patreon. There may be future uses or future ways to get space, but that would be announced on the roadmap. WWSQ999 says, the light tool is buggy. Please open a GitHub issue on that one. Nitro asks, would you consider making it possible to create a slot without a transform? Many slots exist to only store data. No, that won't happen. The better way of doing that is what you're asking for there is like the ability to store data that doesn't need a transform. And so you should ask for that instead. And the answer there is, yeah, maybe we'll end up with properties that aren't like, that'll probably be in the sort of realm of protothocs. Maybe there'll be a component that deals with it though. You can sort of, and I say sort of because I know that there are edge cases to do with spaces, etc. There's sort of a way to do that with dynamic variables. If you use the world dynamic variable space, then it doesn't have a transform. Somewhere it does, right? Yeah, somewhere there's a component that is like storing the value of that dynamic variable, but it doesn't have a transform outside of that. Like you can, without a transform, you can refer to it in protoflux, etc. Pinky says, will there be documentation on protoflux? Yes. What's the funniest bug report you've seen so far? I don't know. I'll move on. I don't want to try and pronounce that. What is protoflux's name, origin, meaning? We were looking for sort of branding and theming that aligns to everything, right? We're trying to sort of wrap everything up in a bow so it feels like one cohesive universe. The content team and Fruits are working on sort of lore and meaning and sort of identity related matters to do with branding, etc. And we kept coming across sort of retro futurism. I'm not like an architecture buff or anything like that, but if you look at the cloud home, retro futurism or like mystical futurism is sort of the way that we're going. So like the easiest way to say this is if you see like a circuit board that's got like a giant glowy crystal wedged into it, that's the sort of visual effect, right? It's like, hey, there's a circuit board, but there's also sort of magical stuff mixed in, right? That happens a lot in TV shows. Like Star Trek uses those square rods, which are crystals. Stargate uses like the actual crystal shaped crystals. They become a bit of a like a MacGuffin though, particularly in the later seasons where they're like, I'm going to open this random panel and there's just like someone's crystal collection and I'm either going to bash it to make it stop working or I'm going to randomly rearrange the crystals to make it work again. But yeah, similar to stuff like that. Captain Kidd, are you going to be continuing the yearly when joined badges? Or is that thing in the past? We've talked about additional badges. I'm not certain that we're going to do a yearly joined badge though. Lucky Moose says, how's your take? Busy. I woke up 10... minutes late into a meeting, did some emergency fixes to an educational world, and now I'm here. I have not eaten. I haven't even turned my lights on, but that's okay. Pinky ask a when question. I don't mean to be like rude or anything, but like I'm really sorry, guys. Like we're trying to work as fast as we can on our roadmap, but until it's there, like any when question is just when the roadmap exists. But the first part of the question is, will the loading screen, the main one, which is stuttery and a mess, I really want the loading process to be smoother, but it isn't clear to me because I haven't looked into it what the issue there is. I know that like if I speak to Freaks about it, he'll have some ideas about how it can become better, but like there isn't something that I can comment on sort of like beyond, yeah, at some point we'll get to it. Artie, yes, we're honoring storage for translations. Can you direct message me that request and I'll make sure it's logged. It's gonna take a while to get those because our storage systems have changed. When we put storage in that is like a reward, we need to like allocate it with like what the reward is for. So it's not as simple as like a quick command. We don't have a command for it. So I'm basically recording them in a spreadsheet, and then when we get to it, you'll get that space. Exus says, will we ever get a migrator badge? No. Pinky says, what's the size of your team? I'm gonna say like roughly 15. There's this thing in startups called pizza scaling. So it talks about like how big your team is, and how many pizzas they need to feed the team. So like right now, I don't know, like 3 pizzas maybe, I don't know. But the point is like when you start getting to like an intangible amount of pizzas, that means you've got a really big company. So like, for example, like how many pizzas would it take to feed Microsoft? No idea, just an unlimited amount. So like that's really difficult. We're still at the stage where we could easily order pizzas enough to feed the team. And there we go, we caught up. I do want to apologize on the whole settings motion blur thing. It's a difficult situation and I understand it, but like we need to find out a way to talk about it as a team and as a community where it isn't just you guys asking for it in different ways. Like it needs to be, instead of the question like when, it's like, I don't know, maybe how can we increase the priority of it for you? How can we make sure that it's higher of a priority for you? That's a better question. And it's like, we know we need to do it. If you want us to do it, like the question should be figuring out how to influence us to make that a higher priority, not asking when. I did miss an Eastern question. So will my Boolean match have a big crystal in it? Not in like a Stargate way where there was one episode where they got under the dialing device. For everyone who doesn't know, that's basically like a telephone keypad for the Stargates. And underneath that, it's just like crystals arranged in a circle. I'm like, yeah, that's future technology for you. Thank you for providing the phonetical diction for your name. Unfortunately, I don't read it. I can't read it. But if asking you a question, you're cool, look. I'm sorry. Is there anything I could do right now to learn how to use Protoflux? Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of tutorials in the tutorials channel that might be basics, etc. But beyond that, and I hate to be silly here, but this is how we all learned stuff back in the day. Try. Like, so if you push 3 on desktop, if you push 3, you'll equip the Protoflux tool. And then you're like, you've done half the work already. The next one would be spawning a node, connecting it together. You can figure that stuff out. You might not be able to do it in a performant way or in a way that makes anything notable or savable, but you can connect nodes together and start figuring out stuff. I used to teach people that like people always get like distracted when they're trying to make Protoflux related stuff. They'll go like, I want to make a gun, I want to make a gesture system, I want to make a custom inspector and a multi-tool. Don't make those. There's enough of them. But if you want to start with Protoflux, try reducing your expectations. How about adding 2 numbers together? How about subtracting those numbers? How about adding T into that mathematical equation so it changes over time? And that way you'll learn everything that you need to learn about the basic like furniture of Protoflux, which is how to spawn a node, how to connect nodes together, how to break the connections between 2 nodes. I often see people who are trying to be taught Protoflux by other users who don't know how to do the furniture. So learn the furniture, and then it's a lot easier for us to teach you. Spec says, if motion blur, still talking about it. It's fine, guys. I don't mean to be mad about it. Like, we'll talk. If there's a question, we'll answer it. If motion blur is causing enough strife, would it be sensible to just disable it outright? That is a foundational business decision that we have made as a team that we are leaving it on by default. That can't also be changed. Pinky says, I thought complaining about asking an item more people to do it would raise the priority list. No. It's like it's a change in the discussion, right? So people come in here every week and they go, when feature, when feature, when feature? I can't answer that question. I don't have a date for you. Like, it's an impossible question to ask. If you expand the question into how can I make it more of a priority, that gets a better answer. So the better way is to sort of say, you know, how do I make it more of a priority? And the idea might be, I don't know, maybe comment on the motion blur issue on the GitHub. Don't bump it, though. If you bump it, I'm going to get angry at you. So don't comment, yes, I'd like this too, as a comment. Thumbs up the original post. And then at some point we'll say like, hey, this has got like 5,000 thumbs up. People are really, really wanting this to happen right now, etc. And then we can factor that into our roadmap, etc. Like repeatedly asking when you know I don't have a date, it's going to get old. Clark, thank you for changing your name. I do apologize that I am bad at pronunciation. I just, like, I'm sorry. I feel bad about that. They are a programmer, a bunch of languages under their belt. Yeah, don't search Protoflux in the world browser. You might find some worlds that exist there, but I apologize for not explaining that. Like, thank you for expanding? What's that? That's not a word. For expanding on your question. As Jackal says, push 3 if you're in desktop toolkit with the Protoflux tool. Then use the context menu, which is middle mouse or T, I think, that will pull up the context menu for the Protoflux tip, and go to the node browser. And then through combinations of double-clicking, single-clicking, and dragging, you'll start to spawn nodes in. I want to get like a furniture tutorial of Protoflux out as soon as possible. And I'll talk more in that video about sort of how one of the problems that we have, again, when learning Protoflux is just jumping ahead of the gun. Like, if you don't know the furniture, then it's problematic. Like, I once went into a world and someone was trying to build a gun, but they didn't know how to disconnect ribbons. And it was like, I don't really know how they'd managed to get to that point without learning how to disconnect ribbons. But it's like, let's make sure that those exist and that you know how those work first. JetForks asks about async and sync models and chaining and looping. That's where a ribbon connects back on itself. In some cases, yes, that's intentional, but in other cases that can cause problems. There's a couple of bugs on the bug tracker now about nodes that do that. There's also a couple that hit the support site before we had the bug tracker. Those are sort of crashes, etc. We have those logged and we're going to look into them. In some cases, it's because we have accidentally forgotten. In some cases, it's because we've purposely forgotten, like we're trying to achieve some sort of functionality by allowing those to loop back. But if they're causing issues, we can take a look at them. Someone mentions a gamified Protoflux learning world. Yeah, you could totally do it. Portal style would be cool. Clark asks for tooltips. Yeah, tooltips is another thing that we're thinking about. And again, on that, like, I could make it so just the inspector buttons had tooltips and I manually created them. But again, that doesn't scale. What I want to do, and what the team want to do, is have a system for any button that exists on the planet inside Resonite to have a tooltip and it to work and make sense. And so that's again why we don't just add it to one area. We want the ability for anywhere to have a tooltip. And that's why we'd focus on that rather than just tooltips for the inspector buttons. Antrobot says, will there be an official tutorial like the one we have now for... yeah, so official tutorials is something that the team want to work on. My channel sometimes gets called official tutorials. It's not. The reason why it's not is because I don't do any editing. I don't do any sort of like content matching or brand awareness or brand suitability. I hit record and then mostly just make monkey noises into a microphone and then hit stop recording. I'm so pleased and happy that people find those good tutorials, but they're not official tutorials. They're not the quality that you would expect from an official company that makes tutorials. June Sekai says, where are the recordings located? Yep, office hours to proper.uk. Zendario asks about the volunteer QC team. I don't know. If you're getting a lot of mixed signals, then I'll give you the current state. So Shifty would like for QC to be overhauled a little bit so that it runs better than it did previously. If the mixed signal is it coming back or not? It is. It just needs to be reworked and come back in a way that makes it work and scalable. Yo-Yo asks, how bad would it be to use the inspector and editor-related components in a creation of mine? It depends which component. Like, some components you can use, some you can't. Like, a good example would be pagination control, paging control. There's a component called paging control. It's in Radiant UI. That drives the pagination of the world browser. That is a cool component that you can use, absolutely. Primitive member editor, probably maybe shouldn't use that component. No way you should. It's difficult to answer because, like, if you make like a field in UI, like primitive member editor is like sometimes a good way to do it, but then sometimes like float text editor parser is a better way. It really does depend on the component. If it feels hacky, ask me if it's hacky. I'll let you know. Lex says, I'm a little confused why Frux in the updates and devlog only talks about him updating Resonite rather than the whole team. Is there some form of miscommunication in the team, or is it some form of weird team structure? Some of it's down to workflow. So Frux is the only one who can publish a build right now. So if you imagine like a big red button that just pushes the next update to Steam, he's the only one that can do that right now. And for a long time, that's made sense, but maybe it doesn't so much as we start to grow. So at some point, we need to pause from doing features and we need to work on workflow. when we do that, I predict everyone's going to be angry at us because we won't be working on features for a bit. We'll be working on workflow, which has no sort of materialistic view on what comes out in the update channel. It's just, but it does in the long run, because it means that it would be maybe automatic, or maybe other people would be able to push builds, or maybe we would come up with a build schedule, etc. And that work needs to happen at some cases as well. So that's, again, needs to go on our roadmap, and then we need to figure out how to communicate that to you. So for that entire time that we're working on it, you guys aren't banging at the walls saying, but rigid body physics. It's like, yeah, we'll work on rigid body physics when we are able to have a good workflow. There is some sort of language in the change logs that I would like to see sort of changed in some cases, and in the devlog. I was speaking to Fruits yesterday about maybe making an announcement about our team's travel plans, etc., because there'll be less work going on next week due to the convention. That came out as him just saying that. So maybe we need to like do a sort of team-wide version of it. Yeah, that's what's going on. It's not like a miscommunication or weird team structure stuff. It's really just sort of like a social cultural thing we need to get better as a team. Yo-Yo, I would not encourage you to use the Scene Inspector component in your own creations. If the component is like used to generate parts of the inspector, and again, this really does depend. Like, you have to like literally list the component to me. But some of those components you shouldn't use because we change them all the time because they're how the inspector works. Some you can because they're parts of the inspector that are quite stable, etc. It's very difficult. Jackal says, are there any plans to restart the bi-weekly mentor workshops? I don't think that Git would start them again. I think that might be a question for the mentor leads to sort of see if they want to run them. I would love to see more mentor events. And I've always said to the mentors, why aren't you running your own events? Like, just, hey, I'm Mentor Bob. I'm going to make a mentor event. Do it. I also want to do more events. Just, you name it, I want to do it as an event. Antrobot asks an amazing question, which I'm so glad you asked, because it is a confusing question that new users get. Veteran users will know exactly the answer to it, but it lets me explain it to you guys, which is fantastic. So you're basically, I'm going to read the question, but then I'll summarize. So, is it more performant to drive a value using driver hooks or write a value using the write node in the context of continuously changing values, or does it not matter? In the case of continuously changing values, you want to try and get to a drive as soon as possible. But I need to explain the difference between a drive and a write to kind of get that going. When you do a write, what you're doing is manually manipulating, and using the word manual is kind of strange because, right, sometimes it's a component, sometimes it's a protofox node. But what you're doing is you're manipulating the data model. And as you're a programmer person, I'm going to use some sort of programming lingo here. If you imagine that the entire Resonite session is just a giant JSON object, when you write, you're updating a value in that giant JSON object. So you're saying this value that used to be 2 is now 3. So what you do is you send a message to all of the people in the session saying, I have updated this value from 2 to 3. And then all of the people in the session then receive that message. And internally in their big JSON object of the world, they go, okay, changing 2 to 3. That's a write. And so it means every time you write, you're sending network traffic and causing additional calculations that occur because those values are changing. Now let's go for drive. In drive, what you're basically doing is, if you imagine the, you know, the Excel or Google Sheets has the expression symbol stuff at the top. That's an expression that gets evaluated to determine the value of a cell within Excel or in Google Sheets. That's what a drive is. What you're basically saying is, the result of whatever is driving it is what the value of this should be. So sometimes it might be, let's take t times 2. So t is a node in protoflux that returns the number of seconds that a world has been open. T times 2, when you do that calculation with a couple of protoflux nodes, you'll do some world model updates. You'll be like, there is now a t node here. There is now a multiplication node there. There is now a times 2 node there. But once you've put those nodes there and said that those nodes evaluate and drive this field, there's no more network traffic. Because what everyone else's computer can do is they can be like, I know how to times it by 2. I know how to times it by 2. I don't need any other network traffic to do that. So drives are local. And that's why it's, you know, important to note as well. Drives are local and writes are, you know, everyone. No, Jackal, that's not correct. Moving forwards to the next question. Pinky says, so if the way to raise the issue in priority is by making GitHub issues and thumbs upping other issues we want, how can you tell what the community cares about? Because not everyone who interacts with GitHub or knows how to do. That's currently one of the ways that you can inform us what the priority of an issue is. it isn't one of the official ways that will rank. It's not like we're saying the issue with the top voter things gets done next, but it's one of the signals that we do. If you imagine like a big machine that's got an algorithm in it that figures out what is the Resonite team going to do next, thumbs upping and GitHub issues are one signal. Another signal might be all of the feedback we read here in the Discord. Another signal might be all the conversations we have with people in Resonite. Another signal might be the conversations and questions I get at this office hours segment. And then another one will be how the team is feeling, what the team wants to do now, what's suitable technically to do that. Push all of those inputs into the big machine, the big algorithm, push the button, and then out comes the next feature that person A is working on. So we want to get to a point where we maybe have an in-game feedback tool where people can sort of say, I'd like this. We maybe want to get to the point where maybe there's a survey that goes out every once in a while, and we sort of say things like that, and then we poll that collectively. We want to get to a way where maybe we record more proactively what people are asking during our Twitch streams, or what people are commenting about in the reviews that we get from Resonite, etc. Stuff like that. It's like all of these signals come in, and then they perform like a priority algorithm, and then outcomes work from that. Cox says, writes are replicated values, drives are predictive. Predict is the wrong word. They're usually accurate because the parts of them that are being derived from are accurate. So if you go back to that t times 2 example, that 2 value, you would have to write that. So you'd have to say, I'm Lex, I'm in the session. I want t times 2 to actually be t times 4. So you tell everyone, and that's a write, it's replicated, that 2 is now a 4. That would be a write, right? And network traffic goes from Lex's computer to the host and says, all right, that 2 is now 4. 2 is now 4. Once that 2 has been changed to a 4, the resultant evaluation of that expression, t times 4, drive a value, can then be a driven value because there doesn't need to be any network traffic for it. Moving forwards, Antrobot says, how do you drive specific values for arbitrary nodes like positions? Getting a property of something dynamically isn't a feature that we currently have. You always need to statically allocate it. There are ways around it. Many components or some protoflux nodes can do that, but getting an arbitrary thing is not possible. Calculate is another good word, Lex. I apologize for like explaining it badly. I need visual aids. Maybe I'll do like a open paint and draw at some point to explain it. Kato says, are there any plans for item folder discovery for user searching for public avatars, tooltips, and stuff like that? Yeah, we want to get to the point where we have basically the equivalent of, not literally, so don't take this literally, but the equivalent of Steam Workshop, but inside Resonite, the Resonite Workshop or whatever. So you could open up the Workshop tab, it'll probably be a tab in the dashboard, and you could type in avatar, and it would just list everyone's avatar that they've published publicly. Not everyone's avatars in like, yeah, I went to the workshop and I just equipped Easton's avatar because it was on there. Like, published content, right? And then you'd be able to find it. That's what we want to get to. And then based on that workshop, we can then do searching of those items, sorting of those items, tagging of those items, purchasing of those items, etc. So that would solve all of that. Like public folders will die at that point. They might still be used, right? But they wouldn't be the main way that people find stuff. Yo-Yo asked about Protoflux writing to a... Yeah, so there's like... The problem with now, like with Protoflux, there's 3 or 4 different types of variable that can be written to. And we do have the concept of a local value in Protoflux. And a local value isn't synced. I am not familiar, or I am, like I know, but I can't remember. It's like one of those things where I can't keep it in my head right now. The differences between all of those variables. There is a comment in the tutorials channel that talks about that, and it will be included in an official Protoflux documentation once that exists, the difference between all of those. One of the variable types does not replicate its values, though. Easton says, is there a way that we can vote for issues with the Resonite bot? There'll probably be something similar to that, but not exactly that. And we want to do that properly, because in the past, that system sort of became problematic. And the reason it became problematic is because the top voted issues, we were unable to work on them. And part of that is a communication issue. That's why I talk about it like a prioritization algorithm, right? It isn't just we'll work on the top rated issue, and we don't want to provide that sort of interpretation or the ability to interpret things like that. And that's sort of why it's ambiguous right now, because it's difficult. Another reason is we haven't really decided what the prioritization machine looks like or what the inputs and outputs to it are. Once we do, we'll be able to sort of document that in a more reliable way. There'll be a section somewhere, probably on the wiki, that says, how the Resonite team prioritizes features, and then you'll be able to read it at length. It'll be pages long. I'll write it. And that will help you sort of figure out why maybe some of the things that you're after aren't being prioritized. Pinky asks about favorite pizza toppings. As we're over time and I've still got questions, I'm going to skip that one. Lucas says, if you make a field local using value copy of write back, is there a much difference between driving and writing on local user? I don't know. I'd have to look. When you start doing weird stuff with write backs, I really have to look at how the component handles them and the underlying network layer to sort of figure out, are you causing network traffic there? Jeb says, is there a more optimized way of calculating values that depend on themselves rather than write on update? I think the velocity of an object constantly increases because of gravity. The velocity of an object can usually be a driven value. What you do is you take the mass and then you start it falling. Let's say we had rigid body physics and you start it falling. Everyone would calculate that a little bit differently, though. It's a bit like the first-person shooter problem. So first-person shooters, basically, when you shoot a gun, it does a ray cast from the gun's tip out and tries to see if it hits anything. If anyone's a FPS programmer and knows it's not exactly that, I understand. But for simplicity, it does that, right? But it also preemptively plays the shot sound. So it plays the gun going bang, the muzzle flash goes off, the particles, etc. But what actually happens there is that sort of fire event is sent to a server with most FPS games. And then the server figures out synchronization ways, like positional ways. Did anyone actually get shot? And that's because it needs to be calculated to figure out like who died, right? In some cases, velocity of an object can be locally calculated, though. But there will be differences depending on if you're slightly out of sync. That's also why when someone's out of sync, stuff looks weird. It's because you're not getting the updates to the data model that allow you to sort of reason about what's going on. I do hope I'm doing a good job here, guys. I do apologize for some of the more repeated questions that continue to come up. There's no other answer I can give. I'm sorry. With that, we are out of questions. If anyone has any additional questions, we've been going for almost an hour. I'm happy to go till the top of the hour, so feel free to ask questions for another 5 minutes and then we'll stop. Rampa says, some users believe Resonite should have fully banned mods and add aggressive DRM and kernel anti-tamper technology. Otherwise, content creators will leave due to feeling the platform is not secure enough. What's your view? I think we should address the security concerns rather than blocking modding. Now, that's my personal view. You asked my personal view, so you get it. Like, what actually might happen, it might be different than that. Like, sometimes you got to remember as well that sometimes when I answer questions, I'm not answering because I personally have the answer. I'm answering because I am honoring the decision that the team has made. I'm happy with the decision that we don't ban mods currently, but I do recognize that that may be a problem later and that we need to figure out a way to sort of figure out how to reason about that and handle it. We're lucky in that lots of things that mods do don't work in multiplayer. Like if mods worked more seamlessly in multiplayer, would have had a lot more problems. Like there's lots of things you can do in a mod or a plugin that will just outright crash other people in the other parts of the session. And so that's good. Like it crashing because you guys are incompatible, that's a great solution right now. I would love to see it solved in a different way. I don't know if there's a way to solve it in a different way. The problem with DRM is it can be broken. I've heard rumors, I don't know, don't use me as a confirmation of this, that the modding community of VRChat has just broken open EAC and are still modding it away. And I fully expected that. Entrybot says, could you make an FAQ? Yes, absolutely. That's part of the wiki, which I need 10 hours of uninterrupted time to work on. I do have some flights coming up when I go to BLFC, so maybe... Maybe I'll do some on the airplane. It's also difficult to build Resonite on my laptop. I'm able to build other place on my laptop, but I haven't set it up to build Resonite yet. Epic Easton says, another thing is Prime is official modding support. Yeah, official modding support doesn't actually prevent the security problem, because what you basically do is like, okay, we have official modding support and we decide to DRM or ban or provide tampering with various things, then someone would prevent that system by working by making like an illicit mod, right? So there then would be official mods and illicit mods. And yeah, we could ban illicit mods from a sort of policy, terms of service, moderation guidelines point of view, but that doesn't stop someone just doing it. Unless we have a technical solution that is 100% like tamper proof, like it's always going to be a problem. That's why things like ripping are still a problem on VRC. You know, VRC is a lot more locked down, but people still rip content because at a certain point, your avatar just exists on their computer and they can rip it. Rampa says that they've had flame wars with some users and been called stupid for not being supporter of kernel anti-cheats on social platforms. We have a modding and plugin policy that we're working on. I think it's ready. I just need to give it another review, and it will go up on the policies page. Speaking of that, there will be an announcement about the policies today. It's basically just we updated them, and there is a change log, so you can read that change log. It's a good change. Don't worry about it. It's just the part of the terms of service says if I update it, I need to tell you guys, so I have to tell you guys quite loudly. So if you log on to Resonite in the next couple of days and there's a Resonite bot message, it'll be Prime saying very professionally, we've updated the terms of service. But then once the modding plugin policy comes out, you'll be able to read it there, and that'll be the official stance. The official stance right now until that policy exists is we allow them and support them. Well, we don't support them. Support's the wrong word. Don't use the word support, Prime. We allow them. Support means, like, we will help you make your mod, which in some cases we will, but we can't say that from, like, an official standpoint, because it's like, I'm not going to sit here and debug why your mod isn't going to work. But if you ask me to help and I've got spare time, I might. That's the difference. Jeff Forge says, not sure if it was asking GitHub issues, but is there a plan to introduce better session security? Yeah, so we want... I'm going to answer the second part of your question first, actually. A spectator shouldn't be able to delete every slot in the world once they load their avatar. They could have something on their avatar that does that, but then that's fixed by, at the moment, preventing their avatar from loading. There are permissions that exist. It is quite an extensive permission system, but it can be broken quite easily. We recognize that, and that's why one of the features that will be on the roadmap is an ability to have harder, more stricter permissions. Once we have harder, stricter, more permissions there, you'll start getting other things like... access to the role that someone is within the world. I know that's a hotly contested object. People want a Proloflux node that returns the role that someone has in a session, but that's just, it's not secure, so we don't want people to... Lenora said, did you look into Resrec spawning? I did not look into Resrec spawning yet. If there is a GitHub issue, great. If there's not, please make one. Link it to me in DMs. I'll assign it to myself immediately. Super Xavier says, will Piomi shaders be implemented? Categorically, no. Never. But to expand on that, pause for silence for dramatic effect, to expand on that, the reason is that we can't support the shader engine that Puyomi is compiled for, which is Unity. We cannot support that long time. We are trying to like bail water out of Resonite that is Unity related, because it gets us on the path that we're walking towards about ditching Unity completely. And if we start adding features that tie us implicitly to Unity, we start getting problems, because it's like, okay, we're trying to bail all the cargo, all the water out of the Titanic so that we can get off Unity and sail away into the, you know, into the Titanic's a bad analogy, off the boat and sail away to the rest of the things. That's a good actual way. Puyomi can port their shader into Resonite. Now, I don't want to say anything bad about Puyomi's shader. It's a very good shader. One of the problems, though, is that it isn't like standardized or locked down. Puyomi continually adds in additional features that the community request until it sort of becomes like the default option, right? Hey, you want an avatar, use Puyomi. Not because Puyomi is maybe the best shader, or not because it's the worst shader, but because it's got all of the features that you might need. And that's the sort of problem that occurs. Like, if it was a simpler shader, it'd be a lot more simpler conversation. We still wouldn't allow it to be directly implemented, but we'd be able to get a visual effect that is quite close. Some of the items that you want from Puyomi, we already have. You just need to ask different language. Like, so one time I had a user come in and say, yeah, you guys need Puyomi. And I said, why? What visual effect do you want? And they wanted a RGB shader. Like, they wanted their ears or their tail to, like, strobe RGB colors or something. And I'm like, oh, we can do that. And they're like, but you don't have Puyomi. And it's like, we don't need Puyomi for it. Antropos says, when we get the custom rendering, and will there be a custom shader implementation? It'll be a standard non-Unity system. You will build custom shaders using Protoflux nodes. You will not build shaders using common shader languages. Ramper says, will Protoflux moderation nodes be possible? The custom join verifier is the first example of that. There will be more that come probably after we have hard permissions so that those are secure. Where we're going, we won't need Puyomi. That's a good way of looking at it. If you want to learn more about custom shaders and things like that, Gaines' office hours is up on the office hours website. I did like 4 hours work to make it support multiple multiple office hour categories. So that'll be useful. I'm going to cut questions off at 6 past, so questions stop at 6 past, please. I know we ran over. I just didn't think it was fair to say right now, so 6 past. Epic Eason says, wait, Protoflux notes? Nodes. You'll use Protoflux nodes to script shaders. If you want to see an example of that, go play with Blender's shader graph that has nodes. Just go play with that. Music processing, though, could be something else that Protoflux goes into later. Clark says, will protoflux shaders have loops? I don't know. And Truebot says, why source? What's the name for source? You should ask the source team that. And no more questions. We're at Sickapast. Hey, Antro, just you, finish your question. Just you. No one else. Special privilege. So Antro says, why PBS Metallic and not PBS Specular as default shader? That'll be a great question for Ginz's office hours on rendering. And with that, I will speak to you later. If you have any additional questions, please drop them in the questions and help channel. Feel free to direct message me. I don't bite. And I will speak to you guys later. Once again, apologies for the motion blur issue. I know it's like really, I'm not being mean. It's just like the way the world works, right? So I will speak to you guys later.